This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A 150-year-old media brand tries something new and awkward. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news that Tribune Publishing, which owns the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune and more, is changing its 19th century name as it moves its listing to the NASDAQ stock market in an effort to seem more 21st century. Tribune Publishing henceforth will be known in all lowercase letters as Trunk. Joining me live is Marketplace's Annie Baxter, who's following this. Annie, a rebranding, but Trunk?
Yes, Tronc, kind of like Tron with a C, T-R-O-N-C. It's meant to be a bit of an acronym for Tribune Online Content. The chairman of Tribune Publishing, Michael W. Farrow Jr., apparently mentioned the name last month on an earnings call with analysts, and now the name change is official. It takes effect June 20th, and as you said, the company is transferring its stock exchange listing from the New York Stock Exchange to the NASDAQ under the new ticker symbol TRNC.
But Trunk?
Yes, this is part of the media giant's effort to rebrand as a modern media company and move away from the association with old school struggling newspapers, which, as you know, have been hemorrhaging revenues over the years without really making up for all that with online ads on their sites. The company basically wants to become a technology and content company, and Farrow has a turnaround plan to use big data and artificial intelligence to, quote, accelerate digital growth. The company is doing all this after having recently fended off a hostile takeover attempt from Gannett.
But Trunk?
Yeah, you can't quite get over that, can you? It's obviously short and punchy, very tech startup-y, kind of in the same spirit as Reddit and Tumblr. It has not exactly gotten a lot of love on Twitter. One journalist quipped that if she had a pet dinosaur, she would name it Trunk, too. Another funny line, junk in the trunk.
Doesn't it sound like a presidential candidate, Donald Trunk? All right. Marketplace's Andy Baxter, thank you. The 100-share index in London is up 1%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures have barely budged because we're waiting to hear how many jobs were created in America last month. That's in about an hour and a half from the U.S. government. Spring break draws to a close for Congress next week. One pressing item is how much money to put towards stopping the Zika virus. More than 500 cases have been reported in the continental U.S., all people who recently traveled to regions with the mosquito-borne condition that can cause birth defects. Gigi Duban has this update on the funding story.
The White House asked for $1.9 billion to fight Zika. The Senate offered $1.1 billion toward mosquito extermination and research, and the House offered up $622 million.
Congress is deliberating or dithering, depending on how you look at it.
That's Henry Miller, a public policy fellow with the Hoover Institution.
The money will come because it's politically expedient to provide it.
But he says the money is just a distraction from what he calls the dysfunction among the regulatory agencies like the FDA and the EPA involved in Zika solutions like vaccines and spraying. Roger Mark D'Souza directs the Maternal Health Initiative at the Wilson Center.
So there's some contention about, you know, is this a priority, the degree to which it is really affecting the U.S. population now and what that means.
And what to do about it. D'Souza says, for example, spraying for mosquitoes is the most expensive part of Zika prevention. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
On a typical day, as many as 25,000 short-haul trucks go in and out of the massive ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. This is not a typical day with those truck drivers on strike. They want trucking companies to classify them as employees instead of independent contractors, the latest battleground in a national workplace tug of war. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports from Los Angeles.
Fidel Gonzalez came to the U.S. from Oaxaca, Mexico. He started driving a truck 10 years ago because he thought he could make more money than he was making as a garment worker. Now he thinks the system is set up for drivers to fail.
If we work 8 hours, actually you don't make money at all. If we work in more than 8-10 hours, we can make some money, but not the money we are expecting.
If you own or lease your own truck, in theory, you can make more money than drivers who are directly employed, because you get paid by the load and might be able to make a few runs a day. Maybe.
One load, I could take 2 hours to finish, or maybe take a whole day. We never know. You never know what time you're going to get out of the port.
So you might spend hours waiting in line for a load, and the money from that load might not be what you thought. Nick Weiner is in charge of the Justice for Port Drivers campaign.
Out of their paycheck will come all these deductions for fuel, for insurance, for registration taxes, maintenance, you need new tires, right? All these get deducted out of your paycheck, and that's what you're left with at the end of the week.
Trucking companies argue the employee model isn't sustainable. Several have filed for bankruptcy in recent months, citing legal battles about misclassification as a major factor. Jonathan Rosenthal is general partner of Saybrook Capital in Los Angeles. He says the trucking business is merely emblematic of a larger battle over employee classification.
There are a number of industries that are being attacked for the independent contractor model, including everything from nursing to beauty parlors to, you know, the Ubers of the world.
Rosenthal says the two models can't work together in the trucking business. Truck drivers either have to be all independent contractors or all employees. And if the California Labor Commission has anything to say about it, it's probably going to be the latter. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in a way related, the biggest private employer in America is trying to get some contractors to test its grocery delivery service. Walmart is experimenting with using Uber and Lyft drivers to get supermarket stuff to people's door. Walmart will test this in Denver and Phoenix over the next 2 weeks. The delivery charge is $7 to $10 and is paid online, not right to the driver. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces the Marketplace Tech Show. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.